I told you, I promised you I'd show you a scripture. I want to show you a scripture, and then I want to just share just a little bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me show you that one while I'm thinking about it. It's about singing in the Spirit. The Bible says to believe on Him as the Scripture has said. Is that what it says? It says, if we'll believe on Him as the Scripture has said, then out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. So you got to understand what the Scriptures say about Him, and then out of your belly will flow these things. And if you'll understand that sometimes you're going to sing in your understanding like we did, and then sometimes you're going to sing in the Spirit like we did, if you understand that, then that says the Scripture has said. And so out of here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So what the apostle there is telling us is simply this, is that there's going to be times when you just want to sing in the Spirit. You won't know what in the world you've said. It really won't matter. You know, it's not something you got to get an interpretation for. It's you're going to sing to the Lord. And when you understand that, then that's as the Scripture has said. You know, a lot of times we believe on Him as a doctrine has said. If you go to a Baptist church, you're pretty much going to believe on Him as their doctrine has said. Am I right? If you go to the Methodist church, that's how you're going to believe on Him. But the Bible doesn't say to believe on Him as doctrine has said. What does the Bible say? Believe on Him as the Scripture has said. And so anyway, you need to understand that. You need to understand that. Now, just to back into the giving. I just wanted to make sure that I did what I told you I would do. In Deuteronomy 26, it tells us how to give. It gives us the outline there as to how to bring our gift to the Lord, our tithe. And that's what I want to talk about just for a few seconds before we bring it. And you bring it. You know, it's not taken from you. All right? Understand that. God loves a cheerful giver. You know? Not one that feels like you're giving it under compulsion, that there's a forceps wrapped around your money and there's pulling it into the kingdom. That's not what He wants you to understand. You're giving this and to be happy about it. Be happy that you have the opportunity to give into the kingdom. That's what God loves. He loves that. Now, in Deuteronomy 26, if you will take time when you have your opportunity, make yourself a note, and you go through this, and you put it into your life the way that this thing says to do it, and you'll see in verse 1 it says, "And it shall be, when thou art come into the land," this is when you're translated out of one kingdom into the other, when you're translated out of the kingdom of Egypt into the kingdom of God, "when you come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein," when you start dwelling in this kingdom, "that thou shalt take of the first of all thy fruit." This is the tithe. This is the first fruit. It's not what's left over after you've paid utilities. It's not what's left over after you had the car fixed. It's the first fruit. It's the first. Is God number one in your life? That's all you're proving. You're proving it to yourself. You're keeping Him first. Deuteronomy chapter 14 says, "I want you to pay tithes so you learn to fear me." Now what that simply means is, am I number one? Do you fear me above the realtor? Do you feel me above the bank? Do you fear me above everything else? Am I number one in your life? Do you believe that I can, if you pay your tithes, that I'll put food on your table, though you don't have money for groceries? Do you believe that? And if you believe that, then you come to a place where He becomes number one. And so we bring the first fruit of the earth, that which bring of the land, and the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt put it in a basket. Now that's what we do here. Okay, we bring it, we put it in a basket, because it's very biblical. We're going to bring it, put it in a basket. That, and that thou shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose for His name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess. Now what does other versions say? What does NASB say? Confess or what? Declare. With your giving, there should always be a declaration or a confession or a profession. Just before, as Joyce was sharing up here, Judy and I took our tithes and we took our almsgiving and we put our hands on it and we made a declaration over it. We professed, we declared something over it. And I encourage you to always do that. Before you get up and walk down and put it in a basket, you know, you make that declaration. You before you give it to the Lord with a happy heart, you declare what you expect this to do. When I give my tithes and my offerings, I'd say, Lord, I declare now that you're going to rebuke the devourer for my sake. You're going to open up the windows of heaven. You're going to pour me out a blessing that I don't have room to contain. You're going to give me access to you when I need you. You said that you would take care of me. That's what my tithe is to do. And I declare that and I decree that. And when I give my almsgiving, I say, Lord, I decree and declare unto this, you said if I would do this in secret, that you would reward me openly. You said you would do this, Lord, and I want my reward, and I don't want to have to wait till I get to heaven. I want my reward now. I want my reward. You said you'd do it openly, not when I got to heaven, but right now. You would reward me. And so, Lord, I declare and I decree this over this stuff, that you're first in my life, and that I'm bringing you my first fruits, and it's yours. So he says, this is how you do it. And the priest shall take it, verse 4, and put it in a basket. And then in verse 5, and thou shalt speak. Again, you're saying this profession. You're continuously professing and decreeing, even after you've given it. You continue to profess it. You continue to decree it. Lord, I gave you that. I gave you my first fruits. Now I decree and I profess and I believe that it's supposed to do this. You said it in your word, that this is faith that I have unto thee. And I want you to do it. And as you work your way on through this, you'll find out that this continues on. Verse 10. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. Verse 11. Well, let me read the rest of that verse. O Lord, that thou hast given me, and that thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. Do we understand that our giving is a part of our worship? You need to understand, you're just not giving so that we can pay the electrical bill. You're not giving so that it's your worship. It is a part of your relationship with Him. It is a part of your personal worship to Him. It's your worship. You're not giving so that we can survive. You're not giving so that Judy and I can have a food to eat this week. Okay. You're giving because this is the worship that you do for Him. It's a very personal relationship. It's a part of what you are and what He is to you. It's your worship. And then in verse 11, and thou shalt rejoice. It's a part of the praise. It's a part of rejoicing before the Lord. You're worshiping Him. You're rejoicing. You're happy because God loves a cheerful giver. There should be a rejoicing time when you come. It's not a sad time when we give to God. Right? It's not a forceps. We're not putting the forceps on you and snatching the money. Don't. If you're giving under compulsion, please don't give. Wait until you can get happy about it. Because all it's doing is it's just you're not going to sow. You're taking your seed and you throw it out there on the cement. Right? It's not doing you any good, and it's not going to do us any good. Because we want you to prosper so that you can give more into the kingdom so that we can do more in the kingdom. All right? And then verse 12, and when thou hast made an end of the tithing of the tithes, tithing of all the tithes, do you see that? There's more than one tithe. You need to understand, there's three kinds of tithes. 10% goes to you. 10%, well, let me do it in order. 10% goes to the Lord, 10% goes to you, and one-third of a tithe, one-third of a tenth goes to almsgiving. Those are the three tithes that you study in Scriptures, and we've taught those before. But when you've done these, when you've made an end to all this stuff, verse 13, then thou shalt say to the Lord, say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house. They're yours, God. I'm not coveting them. I'm not keeping them. I'm bringing them, and I'm giving them to you because you're number one in my life. They're yours. I'm bringing them to you. And then I've not eaten of them. In verse 14, now you can decree this. Once you've made it to this place, now you can decree. You can actually say to God, look at this. Verse 15. Now look down from the holy habitation, O God, from heaven, and bless thy people. Do you see you have the right to say, I want the blessing now? Do you remember that Jacob wrestled with the angel? And he says, I'm not letting you go until what? I get my blessing. And see, what we've done, that's faith. That's what faith is. All those guys in the book of Hebrews, when they were talking about faith, it was simply that point, is that they said, we did what we're supposed to do, God, now you do what you said you're supposed to do. And He did. By faith, Abraham entered in. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Noah. By faith, Enoch. In other words, they did what God said for them to do, and then they trusted that God would do what He's supposed to do. And you have that right. You have that right. Once you've got, you can say, bless me, God. And you're not being irrespectful. That's not irreverent. He loves it. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. He loves for you to get straight with Him. He loves it. Because you're standing on His word. You're standing on His promises. And we have a covenant that's built on what? Better promises. And you need to understand that. This is a promise of God. All right, and then look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people and the land that thou hast given to us. And thou swearest unto our fathers a land flowing with milk and honey. That's what I want, God. I want my life to flow with good things. Amen? And you got that right. You've got that right. And don't let the enemy tell you you can't do that. That's religion. That's religion. If I tell my son, I say, Lance, if you'll do this, I'll do that. If you'll come and cut my grass, I'll give you $20. Now, I don't do that. I feel like he ought to just get out and cut the grass for me. But if I did, and he came to me and he says, I cut the grass, give me my $20. And I said, no, I ain't giving it to you. What kind of father would I be? It's evil. But if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more should he, being Father of light, give good gifts to us to ask? Okay? So understand that he likes you to depend on him and stand on his word. That's faith to him. That's what faith is when you say, God, I did what you said do, and now you do what you said you would do. Bless me. I want a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen? So, if your wife is with you, then you reach over there and you put a blessing. You profess over that thing. You make a confession, a profession over that check. If you're alone, then you just lift it to him and you profess over it. Whatever, however that you are. But and if you can't tithe, then say, Lord, I want to give what I can so that I can one day tithe. And you just begin to work, because God desires to bless his people. He became poverty so that we could become what? Rich. Do you know where that scripture's at now? You've heard it over and over. Do you know where it's at? It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. So if you want to look at that, you can see that he became poor. He became poverty so that you and I could become rich. And he's talking about money there. He wants a rich kingdom. We're going to provoke the Jews to jealousy. And the only way you're going to get a Jew jealous of you is if you've got money. Am I right? And that's just the way it is. And he wants people that are wealthy, doing well, have nice things. He wants to bless us with all good things. All good things. That's the God that we serve. He is a good God. All the time. All right. Here's the school. We got a song? Got anything going on? Nothing? Is somebody going? Okay. Well, all right. Let's bring it. Stand. If you've lifted it and blessed it, then you come and bring it, and then go back to your seats, and then they'll pass the alms.